Welcome back, Survivor fans. It is season 24 of Survivor One World. I guess the first season, excuse me, Survivor One World. 24th right, yeah. Survivor.
24 of Survivor, first
episode
of One World.
Two hosts, one world, one podcast.
Two hosts.
Ralph, Chris.
This is
usual.
A lot of bookkeeping to keep up with here. I mean,
you're the numbers guy. I don't know why I tried.
Right. Well, next season, will it be Two World or World Two? Earth.
Next episode, they're already offering up that the one world is over. It is guy world, girl world.
Oh, really?
And somewhere, Spice World.
Right. And then Earth 2. Wasn't that a TV show or something? Or a movie?
It was on Community.
Oh, it was on Community?
Yeah.
Oh.
There was two UNs, so there was parallel galaxies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Earth and
but I think, no, I think there
Earth
was actually
2.
A movie or a TV show called Earth 2 or Earth 2.0 or something like that.
was it about dinosaur movie, Terra Nova?
Yeah, probably akin to that. You know, it was like, you know, we've used up this Earth, so we have to go find a new one.
You've heard the news that March 15th we're getting our Community back.
Oh, I did not hear that news, and yes. I am very excited for that. The humans, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, the human beings.
Yes.
So if you're not on board, you know, if you're a first favorite show Survivor, your second favorite show should be Community.
Perhaps.
Speaking of,
I don't know if it's my second favorite show.
About Survivor.
Yeah.
This is a podcast.
Back to the topic at hand.
Okay, so they return to the beach, and this is the first time I realized that immediately post tribal council, we'll be seeing the two tribes knowing who went home. And my question for you is what are the ramifications of that bit of news?
You mean the fact that tribes will know right away instead of waiting until the next challenge to find out?
Right. And also, too, they'll be able to take the temperature of the tribe as it comes back from tribal. And that, I think, is interesting information to have.
That is, I think, way more significant. Knowing who went home is sort of, you know, not that big a deal, I think. What I think will be a big deal is the flip side of that, is being able to mix it up with the other tribe before they go to tribal council. You know, exert some influence. We didn't see it at all in this episode, but I think that could be something somebody tries to do, to get in there and try to start, you know, mixing it up and, you know, trying to start leaning on people that they maybe have a good relationship with in the other tribe and, you know, moving, trying to get them to vote one way or the other, maybe against what was already the sort of the prevailing winds in the tribe.
I would look forward to seeing how people stir that pot, and I don't know, you know, I mean, what do you think the physical distances between the camps, like how easy would it be to kind of try to get in there and get in the ear of some of these other players? We didn't see it.
It seems like that physical distance is a little bit bigger than it first looked like in the premiere last week.
Or they just built their huts, you know, and their camps, their campfires.
Yeah,
they
started
than
to drift.
The producers
maybe.
May have wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like on in the first episode that they, you know, that you could spit on each other from each other's camps. In today's episode, it looked like, you know, it looked more like there was, you know, a decent 100 yards or something like that.
Yeah, they can't
camps.
See each other. They're around like a corner at least from each other.
Right. Yeah. There's at least a significant amount of foliage blocking view or something.
Yeah.
Which will make it a little more difficult for the scenario I just described to occur. You know, where you're, you know, sort of mixing it up pre-tribal. You know, most tribes will probably try to, sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Seclude themselves. So
there was even a point made about like I think it was one of the Abercrombies. It's like, yeah, me and a couple guys went over to see what's going on. And so it seems like you have to make an effort to want to mess with the other tribe.
Yeah, right. It's not like New York City where you look out your window and you're looking in your neighbor's window.
So cut to the next morning. The ladies get together, and Chelsea puts forth Sabrina as potential leader of the tribe, and I'm not even sure what responsibilities come with that aside from delegation.
Yeah, it seems like basically all you do is bang the gavel at the little tribe meetings, and that's about it.
So she defaults to conch holder.
Yeah, she calls things to order, and that's about it. When things get out of order, and that's all I see. And it seems it seemed like the first thing she tried to do was to try to assign some tasks and give ideas on how they should be doing those tasks, and was immediately rebuffed on, no, that's not how I'm going to do it. That leader role lasted all of about 8 to 10 minutes.
We're seeing some dynamics break out even within alliances. Like, Kat and Alicia are clearly chums.
Yep.
And Kim and Chelsea are practically carbon copies.
Yes.
And where do you think Sabrina is in that mix?
Well, maybe that's why Sabrina was the one that was sort of offered up as the leader. She's in the majority alliance, but she doesn't seem to have any obvious leaning to any individual in the tribe. So,
do you think she's equally in with both of those little pairs?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that five seems pretty solid, but that, you know, there's definitely two tighter bonds there that we just identified, and Sabrina's the odd man out, and maybe that's why she was offered up, because as the odd man out, you know, as we've seen, leaders often have their heads roll first when things go south for the tribe, so, you know, she's going to be the easiest
but
one to get rid
of. I think Chelsea...
Oh, I don't think it was a. Yeah, I don't think it was
gaming. I think she genuinely wants to see the tribe do well.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was a subversive move at all. No, yeah, she wasn't trying to like put her up there. Like, hey, I don't want it to be me when we lose. But I think, you know, it's the two sides of the same coin. It's, you know, she is easier to let go of if we need to axe our leader, and at the same time, she also has no obvious tight bonds to anyone in the group, so we don't have to worry about her playing favorites or something like that. Yeah, she would be much more objective. Thank you. That's the encapsulating word I was looking for.
So, tree mail arrives, and it's a big package, and then the boys take it upon themselves to haul it down. And we caught word of this before the season, but it was the first do-it-yourself challenge, and it's the return of my favorites, or one of my favorites, the reward challenge.
Oh, yes, yeah, we haven't seen reward as the sole reward for winning a challenge. It's always been tied with immunity. Challenges for the last two seasons.
And early in the episode, we're finally hearing the phrase again, want to know what you're playing for. To the can of Bill's mouth.
Oh, did he actually say that? Did he actually read, do you want to know what you're playing for?
How do you miss that?
I wasn't paying attention.
I'm questioning your card.
I was lost in his weird, like, pseudo, you know, butler voice or whatever that was.
Yeah, that was a little off-putting.
Yeah. I guess that's just his stand-up comic coming out in him.
Yeah, for a comic, he really doesn't get a lot of sound bites.
Yeah.
You would think he would be the guy.
Yeah, you'd think he would be our go-to. And this episode made it, like, painfully obvious that we need a go-to guy. Because This episode was chock full of mixed metaphors, botched analogies, everything. It was insane. There was Alicia who referred to somebody as being worth less than a bag of rocks, and then immediately acknowledging she has no idea what she meant by that analogy. Like, Alicia is taking...
I missed that one.
Oh, that was... It was one of the first things... She was obviously referring to Christina, and, you know, Alicia just continues to dig the, I'm not really that wholesome of a human being hole further and further. She also said that if Christina were drowning in the middle of the ocean, she would turn her head and look the other way. Yeah.
Yeah, that's also one of our city's special education teachers. So,
yeah.
So there you go.
That's who I want to put my challenged kid with for eight hours a day, 5 days a week.
Right. I'm sure she has the needs of that kid all figured out.
Right.
Yeah, just like when they were sent to hunt to go for bananas, they decided that bananas would be found in about 2 feet of ocean water.
Right.
While they soaked.
Right. Yeah, that's... Well,
let's get back to the challenge.
Well,
those
two are on the fast track out of that tribe. Even though they're in the majority alliance, I think they're on the fast track out of that tribe.
Certainly seems like it. So, they're playing for a tarp, which is pretty standard, and the challenge itself, again, pretty balanced, although it seems like the men's ability to just muscle the rope around would give them an unnecessary advantage that the girls may not have.
Maybe. Women smaller
fingers.
You know,
fingers. Any sort of, like, but the ropes were so big.
That's
you know what
true.
I'm saying? Like, you know, any sort of fine
sizes.
Motor skill advantage was negated by the size of the rope.
I suppose.
I don't know.
I didn't think it was
How do you feel about this first do-it-yourself challenge? Like, do you feel like this is a welcome change? Is it neutral? Is it...
If they're going to do it, they need to find stuff that's... I mean, I like the idea because it gives the ability, or it creates situations where controversy can arise, and obviously controversy is what helps drive the drama on the show, and that's what you want. It makes it for a compelling television. But they need to do a better job of creating challenges that will help them help give situations for controversy to arise. This was pretty straightforward. Like, you know, there wasn't much in the way of rules because there's not much in the way there's not much you can do that would seem like rule breaking in this challenge. You know, that's really where you're gonna have some drama arise is if you have some challenge where there's not really any rules set out, but you set up the challenge where you know there are some gray areas that people will possibly tread
something
on.
Something like the resource grab at the beginning of the game.
Exactly like that. Exactly like that. Yes.
I got you.
You know where, you know maybe and maybe it creates a situation where the next time they have a do it yourself, you know they both sit out at least one person so that they have some sort of like judging committee or something. That you know tries to referee things without being you know too intrusive or whatever.
That would be a tough little trick to pull. For me, I think the biggest challenge is that you couldn't really see what was going on, and I think that was a product of where the challenge was happening and also the nature of the challenge. So pretty much what you saw was a pack of people tearing at this ring of ropes, and it kind of like what it reminded me of was like. You know, like vultures around the carcass. Like there's just
right.
Like just this tearing going on.
Yeah, it was really difficult to see.
It wasn't visually the most compelling thing, and I think that I have an issue with.
Well, they had said in their instructions, take this to an open space, probably for exactly what you just described. You know, the other thing is, you know, if you want to be able to get in there with the camera, you need to either break the challenge up into parts where you instruct them to break themselves into. You know, sub-teams within the tribe, like, you know, the first half of the team does task one and the second half of the team does task two. That way there's only four sets of hands in there and the cameras can actually see what's going on. That or, you know, you need just like a bigger ring or something so that it spreads the guys out.
Or you just don't need to do do-it-yourself challenges.
Also an option, yeah. I'm not gonna. The jury's still out on this one. I'm not gonna render a final verdict after one. One
I'm not
exhibit.
Gonna. Yeah. No. I'm not gonna say this needs to go. But this certainly didn't help the argument that you know do-it-yourself challenges is a positive.
No.
Play.
Yeah. This one definitely gets filed under the con column.
All right. So the next segment is all about Colton. Princess Colton, who is.
Oh we missed mixed metaphor botched analogy number two.
I didn't keep track. I believe it was
Nina this time, saying that the women's tribe needed a tarp like a fat kid needs cake.
That was Sabrina.
Oh, it was Sabrina who said that one? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Like maybe once we want a tarp like a fat kid wants cake, but clearly a fat kid does not need cake.
Or they would have loved a tarp like a fat kid loves cake.
Right. Yes. She was biting the lyric from I want to say a 50 Cent song.
Correct. Very good.
But she botched it once again.
Well, yeah. So Queen Colton doesn't want to help set up the tarp and the shelter, and he finds himself getting on the nerve of the girls with just his constant presence. And, you know, at one point he says that, you know, there's no one on the show you can talk to. And I'm just kind of thinking, as a fan of the show, you should have understood they're not going to put two flamboyishly gay characters on the same season. Like, that doesn't happen.
Well, yeah.
Like, who is he expecting to, like...
Well, I actually thought about this a lot as it was happening. I was thinking about it, like... I had that sort of same initial response, like, come on, you know what you signed up for, you know what Survivor is, like, you're a fool if you're, for being annoyed or frustrated at all this. But then I started thinking about it, and really, this, in my mind, appears to be, at least on the surface, a result of the tribe divisions, you know? If he's on any other season where they don't do the male-female tribes, this is much less of an issue for him, because he has people who he's supposed to hang out with that are women. You know, clearly he wants to hang out with women, and if he just had some on his own tribe, this would not be nearly as big a deal and seem so strange that he was, you know, drifting off into the other tribe's camp. So I think he's sort of just a victim of circumstance in that sense. On the flip side, he's watched, as you said, he's watched this show. He's one of the super fans for the season, and it's sort of like you got to know what you know what you need to do here, and this is clearly not it. Going and talking to the women, the female tribe, and helping them build their shelter is not what you need to do.
Yeah, and even some of the girls are starting to realize that, like, there's not a lot of good that can come from this. If, you know, it's no good having him in your pocket if he's not going to be able to hang around long enough to be in their pocket.
Right, exactly.
Once the merge hits.
Exactly. Although the other thing I wrote down about this was he needs to, so I first wrote, you need to suck it up a deal. If you never show your face around the guy's camp, you're going to be the next one gone. And then I thought about it a little more and I realized, or they may just completely forget you're even on the tribe and not even bother to vote you out. You know, there could be a method to the madness here.
I don't think so. I think you're always looking for somebody who has separated themselves, and you're like, okay, like,
no,
clearly we can vote this guy out without a lot of, like,
pushback
from anyone else that he's with.
Yeah, such a strategy might work in, like, a 25-person tribe where you really can kind of hide. But in a 9-guy tribe, yeah, that strategy is really not going to work. But it did occur to me, like, there's a little something to it.
Yeah. And things turn rather quickly. I mean, all of a sudden he realizes that he's got this tool to kind of bring together the misfits on the tribe. And what bothered me about the whole thing is he has the numbers advantage if he just goes with them.
Yeah, he didn't even really need to. And it seems like, now, granted, this is what I think it was Jonas who was sharing to the camera, not to the others, but it didn't seem like top secret information that would have taken a lot of CIA skills to extract, but they seem to want to minimize the Abercrombie voting block. So it didn't. He probably did not need to reveal the idol to get that to happen. Like,
right.
You know, they probably didn't love Colton, but they also know that Colton.
But
they
probably don't even listen to him unless he shows them that. You know?
Yeah, but I think it seemed pretty obvious to me that the misfits are really worried about the Team Abercrombie taking over and just plowing through them if they end up at Tribal Council a lot. And so,
Chris, what do you know about the guys' gameplay aside from the Abercrombie Alliance and Colton? Like, what do you know about the game of Jonas, Troy?
Oh, nothing.
Tarzan and Leaf.
We don't know anything.
What do you know about Leaf?
Nothing. That he actually tried to impart some wisdom and strategy into the immunity challenge, and they told him to shut up for it.
It's amazing how non-present those guys are. Although I guess it's not going to happen until we get to a tribal.
Right. Things are too hunky dory over there right now. So there's nothing to watch. You know, that we're not going to see them until sparks start flying, and sparks aren't going to fly when you've won 3 challenges in a row. And
that's a good point.
You got fire long before the women.
See, that's another thing about reward challenges. It's like another win or loss to buoy or depress
oh, yeah.
the spirits of your tribe.
It's and, like, and to also
the guys
change
can say,
the
we've won
momentum.
Three challenges in a row.
Yeah.
And it, as opposed to it would only be two before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes, the more challenges you can have, the better, because the more it can swing momentum and, or create the illusion of immense momentum, discontent. Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the more challenges, the better, I say. It's even better when you have, you know, the individual sub-challenge within the team challenge, because, you know, it and it's two birds with one stone for them. You know, they're not killing the entire episode by just putting 80 challenges in it. You know, you do the indie challenge within the team challenge, and you can create some more drama there, like, oh, this guy's going to be tough to beat. When we get to the merge, we need to worry about him, that sort of stuff.
I think Burnett needs to take your idea of the immunity idol within the team challenge for seasons like this. Like, I'm pretty sure the guys' team feels pretty confident they can take out the girls any chance they get.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if there was this distraction, you know? What if a guy's like, I think we can still get this, and he goes for it, you know? Like, just imagine that.
What do you mean?
You know, like, again, the guys feel very confident they can defeat the girls at this point.
Right.
You plant this individual challenge within the team challenge for a chance at a hidden immunity idol.
Oh, you or know, for like, a chance at it, or for a chance at immunity for yourself, like on a week where both of you are going to tribal, or something like that. Or like anything that is some device of control in the game, like, you know, the winning team, the person who wins within that team, gets to bestow immunity on one individual on the other tribe as they go to tribal council. Stuff, yeah. I mean, it would create some competition within the team that is working together very well right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have anything before the immunity challenge?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we covered it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a return to the ocean, always a plus.
Yeah, although it didn't really serve as much there.
Okay.
I mean, you could have done this suspended 15 feet above a net, just like they did last week.
I just
let
think
people
it looks
make
better
that
in the
fall.
Ocean. Oh yeah, and fall. Yeah, thanks. You know, you have two balanced beams, very unstable,
mm-hmm.
skinny beams. The whole team is laid out along the beam.
Actually, being in the water probably does make it even more unstable, because it probably the tide will add just a little bit of instability to all that, probably.
The waves.
Just waves against the structure.
And, you know, you have to crawl past your teammates, and the addition of not being able to touch two people simultaneously is such a great rule.
Yes, excellent rule.
This is a well-designed challenge, mm-hmm. and you could see that the team that figured out the method was the most successful, and it wasn't about strength. It wasn't about, you know, mm-hmm. anything like that. It came down to strategy and teamwork. And the guys totally nailed that.
Yeah, I was, to be honest, I actually was kind of surprised that they put Leaf first. I thought he would not be a great candidate for having to do the maneuvering with each person himself. I thought he would be a great
But he would
candidate.
Also be a bad anchor. Like,
oh, I thought he would be a great anchor because he'd be the
because
easiest
he's low?
To get, because he's low, and so he'd be easier to get around if the guy
there's not,
the other
there's
guy's
not as much
moving.
There's not as much mass of him to hold on to.
That's true.
You know?
Oh,
like,
I see what you're
saying.
Those
guys at the end were huge. Like,
that's true.
Grab onto them, they wouldn't move.
Okay, yeah. That's good. That's
you know?
Good. Yeah.
And that was definitely part of it.
That's true. I guess Abercrombie anchored the race, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you think this thing changes if the girls employ Monica's strategy from the beginning, where they just kind of like help, they kind of like guide,
pick up
they
the
lift
person.
Each other up from the shoulders, right, or from under the shoulders, and kind of like move them along, and that was never
step one. If you ask me, is doing what Leaf was trying to get the guys to do, and he was told to shut up about, which was, you know. The challenge naturally leads you to have the person who's trying to get off the beam be the one moving. when in actuality what you want to do is have both moving. You want to have the line moving against him and him moving towards the rescue platform. That is to say that you want to slide people down and create as much space as you can around the person that you're trying to maneuver so that there's not even a temptation to grab the next person. And the women were not doing that. At one point,
Kat reached out and grabbed.
Right. Well, that's a natural instinct. So you almost can't really fault her for that because they were setting up their people like so close together. Like, you know, if the wind blew, you were going to end up touching the other person accidentally. Like it was just poor setup on their part. And then on top of it, you know, they immediately recognized that their breasts made this difficult for them, and. The second, I think Kat did it on her second try. She went behind the first person, and the second I saw that, I thought, "Oh, this is great. This is going to unlock it for them. If they just keep going behind, it's going to make life a lot easier because you don't have these things just keep knocking into each other." And so, but they didn't keep trying that. They kept going back around the front again, which. I don't know, I mean, you could go either way, because at least with the front, then the person can help guide you and provide support, whereas backwards, you know, you're not going to be able to reach back and give support. Right. But I don't know. I mean, the other thing was, is at first I thought Monica was going to get her ass kicked by everybody for being so vocal after, like, the second or third time Kat fell in, and she was like, guys, I can do this, just let me do this. And then when it came time to do it, I mean, she flew through everybody there, and she was... You know, she showed them the prototype on how to do it.
Yeah, and she even threw in the "I'm strong in the core."
Yeah, well, she is.
That's a great line. She is. She's very well put together for a 41-year-old.
Indeed.
My goodness, Brad Culpepper, you are a lucky man.
So I think that was the main thing. I mean, obviously, Kat's an idiot. She jumps off every time. You know,
yeah. Oh my
like
God.
Anytime anybody goes in the water, Kat thinks she needs to go in the water too.
Like Leaf fell in the water and she jumped in. I don't know.
Right. There was a fish that swam by, jumped out of the water, went back in. Kat was like, "Oh, I gotta go in the water."
I did like that. After a while, they figured out that if I have to jump down, I might as well jump at the ladder.
You jump towards the ladder. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they did start figuring that out after a while. Because for a while, they were just like hopping down. I'm like, come on, like,
right.
Give yourself a little help. Jump at the ladder.
The funny thing was, is before this challenge started, I started to say something about Leaf and how he might be advantageous in this, but then of course we realized after, as we were saying here, it's not really because he's not, you know, because he's being a different size, he's difficult to anchor. But Stacy immediately thought that the women were gonna do really well in the challenge just because they're skinnier, there's less bulk. You know, generally speaking, there's less bulk to try to keep balanced on either side of the beam as you're trying to maneuver past one another. But it turned out to not be remotely the case.
Right.
I mean, can you think of a more crushing defeat in challenge history? And obviously, a crushing not in the spirit sense, but in the distance between the winner and the loser sense.
We've seen some pretty lopsided victories before. I mean, this one...
We're talking about 8-1.
More than anything, it was more surprising in that it didn't seem like it should have been this way. It seemed like, you know, it being a balance, the balance factor to it, women clearly, naturally have a lower center of gravity, so they should be better off.
Yeah.
You know, Stacy makes a good point about the bulk of each contestant. Right. That makes... a lot of sense.
Well, and then also there's, you know, women, women who do any sports early in life, generally speaking, tend to lean towards sports that require more balance than men do. You know, I mean, men play baseball, soccer, football, which require balance, but it's not like the focal point of it all. Whereas, like, you know, women have a tendency to gravitate towards dancing, gymnastics, stuff like that, that is very balance-centric, right?
Sure. Sure. The ballet.
Right.
I guess it's shocking in how it turned out in compared to what your expectations were. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But you know, maybe we're underrating the breastiness of the women as being an issue.
I think we're under...
I mean, think about it. You got.
I think we're underestimating the chestiness of them, and I don't mean that proverbially, not literally.
Alicia is busty. Chelsea is busty.
I don't think that. I think that became an issue because they let it become an issue. I think it's the fact that that team is team chaos. You know, there's no unity there. There's no focus and working together, and the guys have their stuff together. You know.
Remind me, Chris. Did the guys bother to vote a leader?
No, the guys did not bother to vote a leader.
They did not, because they organized.
Right.
And they realized that they needed to, otherwise there wasn't a choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So we go back to camp, and Monica and Nina are trying to figure out how to break into that Alliance of Five.
Yep.
Which is good, because, mm-hmm. you know, we've seen too much of people getting walked over and throwing their hands up. Mm-hmm. And
I thought Nina went after the right person. I thought Chelsea was
Nina
the right
person. Nina totally went after the right person. Like, clearly Chelsea's playing this game with very little...
With a good head on her shoulders.
What were you trying to say? Like, she's not playing with, deceit or gameplay in mind, which is a good and a bad thing.
Right.
You never want to come off as too naive. You know, you never want to come off as not playing the game.
Yeah, but she seems to be on the ball, but not like, you know, crazy deceitful or anything like that. She's just with it.
She did screw over Matt, which was great in the first episode.
Oh, that's nice. True. She did, yeah. But yeah, I thought actually that they were going to swing it. I mean, Chelsea, she just seemed, because wasn't Chelsea the one in the first episode who was, it was either Chelsea or Kim, and Chelsea or Kim, as we have pointed out, are, you know, virtually interchangeable at this point in the game. One of the two of them in the first episode was like, yeah, I'm not really a rah-rah girls kind of person, but that's what's going on here, so I'm going to sort of roll with it or whatever.
That was Kim.
Oh, it was Kim who said that? Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they both, as we pointed out, they both seem to be of similar mentality about that sort of stuff, yeah.
They seem to be above the pettiness that's going on, and they both seem to be pretty embarrassed by it, and not interested in engaging in the dialogue.
Yeah, well, and ultimately, even Christina, I think would be above it as well. She just took the bait. She took Alicia's bait last week. You know,
way to put it.
Yeah, she, you know, as they showed in the recap from last week at the beginning of the episode today. You know, she full on just yelled at Alicia in tribal council, telling her to shut up and that's just false or whatever. And the thing is if memory serves, Christine is actually correct, but, you know, she comes off looking like the nuts one instead of Alicia because, you know, she's the one who
she
who
burst
lost
out.
She's the one who took the bait.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's throw it out there. This is a podcast of strategery.
Yep.
You know, if Kim and Chelsea flip, what are the positives? What are the negatives?
Well, if Kim and Chelsea flip, I think it appears to me, I think that Chelsea, at least by the end of the episode, appears to be tighter with Sabrina than Sabrina is with anybody else. Or at least Chelsea and Kim. Again, they're interchangeable. You know, Sabrina seemed to be pretty neutral with everybody in that the five girl alliance, but I think Sabrina leans Chelsea and Kim's way, and so I think Chelsea and Kim probably would have pulled Sabrina with them, and said, you know what, like Monica and Nina make way more sense to go along with, and Christina seems like she's a little nuts, but we could tolerate her. More than
well, you wouldn't even need to tolerate her. It's like, you know, you go ahead and vote Kat off, and you align yourself, the three of you, with Nina and
Monica,
yeah. And you still have five, of which you have the three majority share.
Right.
You know, you're in the same situation, except you're trading out the two youngest flakes mm-hmm. for the two oldest and wisest members of your tribe.
Yep. And not to mention the fact that Monica, despite being what appears to be the second oldest in the tribe, is
clearly a physical threat.
Very, yes, is very physically capable in challenges.
So, and Nina too. Nina's looking capable.
I don't know. We have no evidence on it. I mean, we had one challenge last week where that ended after we did a jump into a net, and then this challenge.
I will say, if you gave me a choice between the 51-year-old cop who hung with LAPD.
Of course, yes.
Versus the crazy special ed teacher from Chicago.
Before Kat, every day of the week. And before
Alicia. I don't know about before Kat, but I definitely take her before Alicia.
Oh, yeah.
And probably before Christina.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, she Nina, despite getting voted off, made some very good points in that tribal council. I mean,
she walked off with her head up and definitely should have.
Yeah, I mean, she's you know, when you work at LAPD, you must. There's no way you could log 13 years for a police department of a top 10 population city in the U.S. and not be able to work well under pressure. You know, that's that should have been her selling point from jump. And unfortunately, she waited until it was
too
late.
Here's the thing, though, Kim and Chelsea. We need to Chelkim, Kimsey. Can we just lump them somehow?
Sure.
I don't know. Kim and Chelsea. The reason that was that came out of their mouths for not wanting to flip, even though they agreed with every word that Nina
trust.
Had said, even though it pained them to do it, they said they wanted to build trust. Right. The only people they're building trust with. Are, if they voted out Kat, you know, the only people they would have betrayed trust to are Sabrina and Alicia. And, like you said, they could have just pulled Sabrina along with them.
Rational enough to bring along.
And the only person then that they're betraying is Alicia.
Right.
And
who holds no power.
Right.
So except destructive
for
power
me,
and challenges.
For me to say that, to vote with them builds trust only means the only thing you're building with me is that you are blindly allegiant to a dysfunctional alliance. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, that was dumb on their part, definitely, because
it's a completely missed opportunity.
Because it's the thing is that statement holds water in week 3 or week 4. That statement holds no water in week 2, especially when in week 1, even though you went to tribal council, you didn't actually do any voting, so there's so you're not building on any trust that already exists. There's no trust yet. Any trust in here is completely negligible at this point because nothing has occurred that would cause anybody to actually say, oh, now I trust that person, you know?
It seems to me like there's been a departure within later seasons away from the, formula where it began, where, like, it seemed like in earlier seasons, the first tribal you went to, there were no alliances. It was purely who is making
tribe
our tribe
strong.
Weaker.
Right. Yeah, it was
who's
always...
Who's making our tribe weaker? Yeah. You're gone.
Who is the dead weight?
We like you, and that's it. And now... It seems like early tribal voting is being influenced by alliances that are built on whatever is less stable than sand. You know, this is not, you know, this is not a foundation of sand. It's a foundation of, I don't know, I can't even think of
water.
You know, yeah,
quicksand.
If you could build on water, then there you go.
Foundation
but,
of mud.
You know, you have these unstable alliances built out of panic at the beginning instead of out of reason and logic.
Yeah.
Sorry. And it just, it's, I don't know. Do you see the trend that I'm talking about?
No, I definitely see what you're talking about. I mean, yeah, especially part of it is what's happened the last two seasons. The last two seasons, you've seen alliances formed in the very early days of the of the entire show. Stay strong all the way to the end, to the point where they their alliance is the only ones who are left, and none of them are gone either, and so people are gravitating towards that. What's going to happen?
Because it's been a model of success.
Yes. What's going to happen is, A, the producers are going to find a way to break that up, whether it's as simple as what they did in Africa, where it's you start doing. Tribal shuffles again. They've actually gotten away from tribal shuffles. You know, tribal shuffles haven't occurred in at least 6 seasons. I don't think they've had one since before Samoa. And I'm only going back that far because I can't remember further back yet right now. So that's probably going to come back soon, if not this season. But
yeah, I feel like this season it's coming.
it's going to have to, yes, because of the boys and girls thing, especially if the boys start crushing. But the other thing is it's only as good as your tribe is, though, is the problem. Is those early alliances are great, and Jeff loves to talk about the early bonds really are what shape the game and what drive people's decisions throughout the game, and that's true, but that's only as good as your options that's only as good as the options that are presented to you throughout the way, which is
sound like Chris Rock,
which is to men are as faithful as their options, right?
Yeah.
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, that's great and all, but it only works if you're winning enough challenges so that you aren't put to the point of voting off your own people at week four instead of week 14. You know.
Yeah.
That's the thing that you can only be so faithful to your alliance like that without doing detriment to your own game, you know, because you're so worried about the alliance that you start voting off people that just aren't in your alliance but actually are better for your tribe than people who are in your alliance. That's just, you know, at this point in the game, it's foolish. If I went on the show, that would be my first thing. I'd be like, guys, let's be smart about this. Like, eventually alliances are going to form, whatever, but let's all acknowledge week one, week two, or vote one, vote two. We need to keep the tribe strong. And if that means me, so be it. You know?
No one's ever going to say that.
I'll say that. That's what I'm saying.
No, I know, but...
because I'm confident that it won't actually be me.
Kat, I feel like Kat, you know, to her credit, fell on that sword. She said, you know, I feel terrible about it, and I cost my team the challenge. And she said, you know, she fell short of saying vote me out, but, you know, Probst almost basically got her to admit that, you know...
that it would be okay
she,
to.
It, she had earned reason. The right
yeah.
to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how old is she, what, 20, something
22.
Like that? 22. 22, I mean... that actually kind of surprised me. I pegged her for 19 or 20.
19 would have been right for
yeah.
me, yeah.
Because she exhibits a lot of emotional
childish.
Immaturity. Yeah, and she just doesn't have it together. And, I mean, I forget what the question was, but... I remember. It was... Nina either asked herself or Probst asked Nina what she
what
offers.
What life experience you bring?
Just what she offers to the tribe in general. And Nina answers, and she talks about under pressure, I'm a cop, yada yada. And then she, very pointedly, and I thought it was a good move on her part, directs that question at Kat and says, I want to know what Kat thinks she brings to the tribe. And Kat gives an awful answer. And Jeff, like, chimes in and, like, swoops in and picks her up and says, if I were you, I would say I'm young, I'm strong. It's like, Jeff, do you want to play the game for her? Like... Where is the Jeff that lets people hang themselves?
He's been always one to, like, you know, I guess lately he's been less cutthroaty and more like trying to, like,
he's Dr.
encourage
Phil now.
People to, you know, to keep playing. And mm-hmm. I think that's part of his thing is because especially with, like, you know, seeing seasons where people quit, like, he doesn't want that for the game. He wants people to fight. So he'll, like, try to see the
I didn't
the
see
positive
quitting her, though. That was the thing. I didn't see quitting her. I saw...
there was definitely...
I saw despair. I did not see quit.
Dejectedness.
Yeah. She didn't... It's despair, and she definitely opened up, which, I mean, that's kind of a big deal, I guess, when Jeff can get someone to open up like that. I mean, saying, like, she said she never failed, and then she fully admits that she basically never fails because she never tries anything that she doesn't already know she's going to succeed at. I mean, that was actually a bit of a decent moment there.
Yeah. Well, that's why this kind of thing, it's like, you know what? I think... even if this isn't gameplay, what Kat is doing is working only because if you're in her alliance, what you're seeing is, like, this is, you know, she's opening herself up and she's admitting that what she did was wrong, so to kind of cut her throat at this point would seem unforgiving.
Unforgiving.
No, but at the same time, like, you know,
we're not running church here. We're running
Survivor. She didn't want her to go in there saying, you know what, you know, as much as I screwed up, you know, I'm still in power here. Like, mm-hmm. you wouldn't want her to be, like, undeservedly cocky. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some people who would go in there with that attitude.
Yeah,
and been like,
say
you know
I screwed
what?
Up, but it doesn't matter.
Say what you
I'm
want.
Right
I'm still
spot.
Here. You know, everyone knows that I'm in the five.
Right.
And that's just it.
No, yeah.
Because that would have been, like, the ultimate insult to, like, Kim and Chelsea.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And which also probably would have gotten her voted off.
I don't even know. The other three didn't even stand together. They all voted different people. Two of the votes went to each other. You know.
Oh,
Christina
right.
Voted for
Monica. No, Monica
Nina,
voted.
Monica
for
voted for Christina. Like,
what was that? That was so strange. Was that just her way of saving face? Like, she didn't want to vote for Nina because she actually wanted to keep Nina around, but she didn't want to vote for Kat because she knew Kat was going to end up sticking around and wanted to have plausible deniability. Is that what that was?
What does it matter? The cards are on the table. It's 5 versus 3.
Yeah, but it can't hurt to be number 6 on that 5, you know, because there's a chance that we very much are predicting a shuffle, and six sometimes is how many you have when you merge. So either way, like, she'd like to be number 6 there. I mean, you do want to save face. The cards are on the table, so you do want to save face and, you know, look, hey, Christina voted for you. I voted for Christina, so, you know. I mean, it's something, which with somebody as young and immature as Kat could actually play.
I'll buy it.
You know?
I'll buy it.
The one thing we haven't talked about is the question Jeff posed and the surprisingly honest answers from Chelsea and Sabrina.
Would you do the alliances differently?
If you could, yeah. Would you set alliances differently right now? And they both are actually, I think he asked Chelsea. She said yes. And I think Sabrina just volunteered yes. She wasn't even directed the question. Right. Like,
you can see the fatigue on Sabrina's face.
Oh,
she wears
yeah.
it well.
Yeah. Well, and
she wears it well.
I mean, she definitely would flunk out of Rob Mariano Survivor 101. I mean, answering a question that wasn't even directed to you that reveals information that is detrimental to your game, you know? Like,
right.
I'm in this alliance, but I don't really want to be. But the thing I don't get is, like, why didn't the three of them then... I mean, okay, so if Chelsea says yes, then Kim says yes. So that means the three of them wish they were not in that alliance. Why,
correct.
Like, why didn't the three of you get, like... It'll be interesting to see if they get their crap together and
what
actually
difference would it have made?
Flip.
What difference would it have made if they had somehow gotten Christina, Monica, Nina in a united show in front of either Kim or Chelsea or Sabrina to somehow convince them to leave Alicia and Kat behind?
Like, you mean, I like feel if like they had all voted
there was
together?
No solidarity. Like, if they just showed some kind of united front and been like, look, you need to rethink your allegiances with Alicia and Kat.
Oh, you mean pre-tribal?
Pre-tribal, like,
okay.
And just be like, you know, this is what it is. Because I think part of the reason Kim and Chelsea stood firm is they didn't no idea if Christina and Monica would be, you know, as firm in their stance as what Nina was.
Yeah, I think they're just worried about. I think in their minds, they become the flip-flopper, which is the person who isn't going to be trusted if they make that move. Because in their minds, they formed this alliance, even though this alliance hasn't actually had to be implemented or used for anything, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the disconnect there, that they're feeling allegiance to an alliance that has never actually been put into action. And if they had realized that, they would realize that they wouldn't even be viewed as... Like, Monica, Nina, Christina are not going to view them as flip-floppers because they went and voted with... You know, they left their original alliance and voted against them. I mean, because if you ask me, an alliance isn't really an alliance until they've all voted together. You know, like
right.
You know,
right.
Just like a decision isn't a decision until you've actually done something that can't be undone. You know,
like, until you've sat down with Jim Gray and like talked about the decision you made with your mother that morning.
Exactly.
Let's move on. We're almost at the hour mark, so we should move on to our last bit here.
Yeah, the only other thing I wanted to point out was that Kat got really mad at Nina during the voting. She actually in the confessional pointed out that Nina, she says, "I don't know why you had to throw me under the bus or anything." And I guess it's just another indication of her immaturity. Like, this just did. You were already under the bus. All Nina did was point and say, "Look, she's under the bus." Like, she did not throw you under the bus. You were there. In fact,
good.
Twice during the challenge, you threw yourself under the bus.
You literally threw yourself into the watery bus.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you for that. That was good.
Yeah, I thought it was
So this is the point in the season at which we pick our horse.
Yes. Episode 2, we've gotten our feel for some of... Although the thing is, it's funny, I actually feel more comfortable picking from the women than I do from the men, because we don't know squat about the men. We haven't seen anything. I know as much about them as I do about the cast for season 25 of Survivor.
Right, and I think, you know, now that we've kind of like... Just for the listeners, we've not discussed our lists.
Correct.
Before we started this little segment. So if it seems like we have some overlap, that was unintentional. Yeah. The fact that I know now in my head that I feel really strongly that there's going to be a merge, I can feel okay about thinking about a woman.
You mean a swap?
Sorry, yeah. A shuffle.
A shuffle of the tribes.
Now that we're pretty sure there's going to be a shuffle, I can feel better about potentially choosing a woman as my horse.
So, all right, so you first. Who's your... So, you want to pick from tribes and then pick an overall?
I guess.
All right, yeah, let's pick from the tribes first.
Are we being exclusive, or is it okay if we overlap?
That's fine if we overlap. Who cares?
All right.
I mean, I have a few that I'm going to talk about. I think I know where I'm leaning.
From the guys, I have my little Sebastian pick. He's my mini horse.
Your mini horse? Little Sebastian, a very
Leaf.
Nice Parks and Rec reference.
It's Leaf, and I think you know.
Guys get fired for that sort of thing. You can't do that. They got rid of people at ESPN for using that kind of thing. Come on.
Send your grief at twitter.com.
Wow, that's way worse than whatever I did to the women last
Tribal
time.
Podcast.
Oh, that reminds me. That was my last thing. I forgot. Sabrina is 100% on board with my mentality about what's going down here. She called it out in Tribal Council. She was like, this is what women do. We all tiptoe around it, and nobody ever quite says what they want to say because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And whereas guys, they got something wrong. They got beef with each other. They say it. They call it out. They talk about it, and they get it over with. And afterwards, it's a non-issue, which I didn't put it that way last time, but that's sort of what I was getting at.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I think Leaf is enough of a diplomat, not that I know enough about him, but he seems to not have raised any flags, and just some of the overconfidence I see in the Abercrombie alliance is upsetting.
Yeah, I don't think that alliance is
going
to last.
It's unwarranted, especially given that they don't even have number superiority. Right. Along with that, I think probably...
Who's your stallion?
Mike, it would be...
He's one black-haired-ish.
He's the darker-haired of the tall Abercrombie models. Yeah. Matt seems so disconnected. Like, he just doesn't seem like he could ever see any plot coming at him from any angle.
Yeah, but he thinks that he could.
He's just obtuse.
Right, but he doesn't realize. But he also is completely unaware that he's obtuse. He thinks he sees all the angles too.
Yeah. On the girl's side, I'm gonna have to go with Chelsea and Sabrina. I think Kim is a little too... She doesn't seem like she's as open to making bigger moves as Sabrina or Chelsea would. Mm-hmm. So I think of those four, Chelsea, Sabrina, Leaf, and Mike, I am going to go with...
Drum roll.
I'm going to go with Chelsea.
Okay. Wow. As your overall horse.
Yeah.
All right. It's funny. She was the first person that I picked that stuck out for me as like, she's a good person to pick. I just didn't like picking her because she's on the female tribe. But, you know, as we've discussed, we think there's a shuffle coming, which will make it a lot easier for her to survive. On the other hand, maybe not, because she has already burned any bridge she had with Matt. So if she ends up in a shuffle on the same tribe as Matt, that might make it more difficult for her to stick around. So for the girls, I had Chelsea and Kim and Sabrina as the three. I agree with your thinking that Sabrina and Chelsea seem a little more proactive. Kim seems a little more reactive, which is not quite what you want to be. You need to be just barely, you know... Just barely leaning to the proactive side. You get too proactive and you get a target on your back. You get reactive and, you know, you end up trying to maneuver something when you've already got three, it's too late. Your name on
opportunity missed. Yeah. Opportunity missed.
On the guy's side, I like Jonas and I like Bill.
Bill, I can see.
Because Bill, I think, is the bridge between Team Abercrombie and the Misfits. Because Bill's both. I mean, you know, he's a stand-up comic. Stand-up comics are not Abercrombie models. They're Misfits, right? I mean, people don't end up in comedy when they got the good looks to be an Abercrombie model. You know, they just go be Abercrombie models. So I could see him being the bridge between them and thus likely not to be the first to go from Team Abercrombie if the Misfits are able to actually pull off this, you know, this thing with Colton. Although I ultimately think Colton is going to end up being completely used in this. Because the idol really has nothing to do with it, but I bet he's going to play it anyway because he's so paranoid. And then Jonas seems to just have a very level head on his shoulders. You know, he seems to be aware of things that are going on around camp. He seems to not be overly reactive to the things that are going on around camp, but just sort of filing them away. Like, that's something to keep an eye on.
Do you see him rallying people to...
That I don't, and that's the problem that's the problem with him. I really just don't have anybody that I like on the guy's side.
Yeah,
overall. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, the only survivor winner I've correctly picked from the beginning of the season was Ethan from Survivor Africa, and he actually very much embodies what I would try to look for in a horse. Is like he's got the athletic skill and he's got the physique, etc., to be obviously useful in challenges, but he's not this just like, you know, page out of a fashion magazine, you know, like he had a good head on his shoulders, like he was a soccer player, so like he gets teamwork, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Whereas
Colby
the others...
was the same way, except he made the mistake of choosing Tina.
Right, yeah. If he took, I think it was Frank with him to the final, he would have won that, no problem.
Right.
So I guess all that said, I kinda wanna pick Chelsea also, but I'm not going to because you have. It's way less interesting that way.
Correct.
So I'm going to go with Jonas. I think he has a high likable factor.
That is a dark horse.
Yeah, it is a dark horse, but I think he's got a good likable factor. Bill, the stand-up comedian, would be the more obvious likable factor, but we haven't seen that at all from him. So,
and he's given off a bit of a reactive vibe. So
yeah,
we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. So mark me down for Jonas. You've got Chelsea. But if Chelsea wins, I want it to be known that I almost picked her.
All right. For our listeners, where will they find our internet presence?
You can get us on Twitter. The handle is @tribalpodcast. And you can email us. The email address is podcast@tc.vanbee.net.
Well, thank you all for tuning in, and on behalf of my co-host Chris, this is Ralph, and I'll see you next week.